Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 3, The Marriage of Sukanya A. Chaivana Muni, text number 22. Evam Rubanam Pitaram. Smayamana Suchi Smita. Uvacha. Tata jamata tavaisha bregu nandanaha evam in this way bruvanam who is talking and chastising her pitaram unto her father Smayamana, smiling, because she was chaste. Suchi smita, laughingly, Uvacha replied, Tata, O my dear father, Janmata, son-in-law, Tava, your. Esha, this young man, Bhrigu Nandana, is Chaivana Muni, and no one else. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukanya, however, being very proud of her chastity, smiled upon hearing the rebukes of her father. She smilingly told him, My dear father, this young man by my side is your actual son-in-law, the great sage Chaivana, who was born in the family of Bhrigu. Purport. Although the father chastised the daughter, assuming that she had accepted another husband, the daughter knew that she was completely honest and chaste, and therefore she was smiling. When she explained that her husband, Chaivana Muni, had now been transformed into a young man, she was very proud of her chastity, and that she smiled as she talked with her father. So this class is going to be a pastime class, because, practically speaking, until we get into the 11th canto, well, until we get into the last chapter, the prayers of personified Vedas, in the 10th canto, which is about chapter 88 or something, then we're not going to get a whole lot of philosophy. Except, I think maybe Ridayananda Maharaj and the other devotees, they put in a lot of philosophy. And probably also in the 10th canto put in some philosophy. But these are more or less stories, for the most part, to show us it doesn't matter if you're born in Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga, in Dwarpa Yuga or in Kali Yuga, you're born in Ljubljana or in Indraloka or Mahaloka or Brahmaloka, there's not really that much difference compared to spiritual consciousness. So if we're thinking, oh, now I'm in the 10th canto, hearing about Krishna's pastimes, but if I go back to the spiritual world, I'm going to have to miss so many things down here. I really want to find out who's going to become the world soccer champion next year. So even if I couldn't, the airplane comes, I ask them, could you come back a little later after the game? So we may laugh, we may think of it, but actually, Krishna is willing to take us back immediately. The only thing we don't want to go back, that's our problem. So that has to be developed gradually, and therefore the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam isn't the first canto either. In other words, the material world, even here on this earthly planet, there's some attraction. Somehow or another we can find something to be attracted to. Although they're constantly having to invent new things to be attracted to, because people get tired of them very quickly. Now, if we go to Indraloka, there's no inventions there. They're not coming up with new things every day, or every week, or every hundred, or every kalpa or something. No, it's always the same. But it's, when one's senses are purified, then everything becomes pleasurable. You don't have to invent something for pleasure, then everything becomes pleasurable. Practically everything. And the higher you go, then the more things are the same. Like in Krishna Loka, everything's exact, all, even Krishna's pastimes in Krishna Loka, they're the same. There's variations in the same pastimes, but they're the same. Nitya, Navanavana, Yavana. And we can find out more or less what those pastimes are just by reading the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But because everyone there has spiritual senses, and the nature of spiritual senses and spiritual experience is it's always fresh and new and more exciting. It's not that Krishna gets up, he's about to go to the forest, and everyone says, yeah, it's just like yesterday, he's going to the forest, you know. I don't have time to say goodbye, you know, I'm busy, you know, I'll see him tomorrow. He's going to do the same thing tomorrow. I'll catch him tomorrow. No, everyone is even more enthusiastic to go and see Krishna off into the forest than they were yesterday. They don't even know what happened yesterday. They don't even remember what happened yesterday. It's completely in the present. There's only the eternal present in the spiritual world, and it's ever more exciting. And here it's the same thing over and over again. It gets more and more boring. Could you imagine if they had the same television program and they played it every year? There was one television program, and it was on television. It was the same one every year. They played it again every day, the same program. Probably the audience would drop off rather quickly. But in the spiritual world, it's the same program, but the audience is always growing. And it's becoming more exciting. So that's... But in order to experience that, right now, we're not in that program. We're in another program. And somehow or another, when we hear the Vedic literature, because most of us, we don't know the Vedic literature that well, but when it hears about the glories of Indraloka, you can go there, you can live for 72 Mahayugas, and Mahayugas 4,300,000 times 1,000 years, 4,300,000,000 years times 72, you can live that long. And there are gardens with the Parijata flowers, which you just take one sniff and you're intoxicated for 1,000 years. You're in bliss. And it's full of all such flowers. And everyone there has a youthful body, fully invigorated for millions and millions of years, billions of years, actually, practically, millions of years, actually. And the apsaras are there, and there's Airavata, there's all these. So we think, well, on the way back to Godhead, maybe I'll take a stop. I mean, it's a long way back to Godhead. I might as well take a little stop. Take a vacation, Indraloka, for a few hundred million years, and then I'll go on to Mahaloka, to Tapaloka, Siddhaloka, Brahmaloka, then through the coverings, through Brahman, through Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka, and finally I'll get to Krishna Loka somehow or another, someday, some lifetime of some Brahma. But I'll be fully experienced. I'll be ready for Krishna Loka. I won't have remorse when I'm in Krishna Loka. Oh, if only I was back in the material world again. You know, there's this new iPod pad that came out. I could have gotten it. but now I'm here in Krishna Loka and there's no turning back. There's only one-way trips. Maybe I can hitch a ride when someone's going back. No, we have to leave it all behind. But in order to do that, we have to find out how others have left it behind. Because we're not the only ones going back to Godhead. It's Krishna says, Vitaragabaya krodha manmana bhava mamaya bhava apashitya bhava jnana tapasa puta madhavam agata bhava jnana tapasa. By tapasya and by knowledge, many, many persons became purified, and thus they all attained transcendental love from me. So part of this is knowledge, and this is the knowledge in the ninth canto. There's nothing to be left behind. That even people who have had the opportunity to enjoy these things, they've gotten tired of it after a while. So we'll also get tired of it. Better go back to a place where we'll never get tired. So, as I go on, so this is text number 23. Thus, Sukanya explained how her husband had received the beautiful body of a young man. When the king heard this, he was very surprised, and in great pleasure he embraced his beloved daughter. I mean, I would have asked where the lake was. It's amazing people aren't interested in those things. At least I would have, you know, went to the lake and got a bottle from it. Something, you know. Chaivana Muni, by his own prowess, enabled King Sharyarthi to perform the Sama Yagya. The Muni offered a full pot of Sama Rasa to the Ashvini Kumaras, although they were unfit to drink it. King Indra, being very perturbed and angry, wanted to kill Chaivana Muni. Therefore, he impetuously took up his thunderbolt. But Chaivana Muni, by his prowess, paralyzed Indra's arm that held the thunderbolt. So here's a Muni. He so powerfully can paralyze Indra's arm, we can't even imagine where his arm is, with the speaker paralyzing it. And yet at the same time, he has to appease the Ashvini Kumaras in order to take him to a lake, to bathe in that lake and come out as a young man. There's obviously a compartmentalized powers in the universe. Even if you become so powerful that you can paralyze Indra, still you have to remain in an old, decrepit body. And even you can drink samarasa, whatever that is, I don't know. And even teach a king how to perform samarasa to be able to manufacture it. Still, he was in this old decrepit body, which is so powerful, he could make himself into the size of an earthworm. Anyhow, it's quite an interesting universe we're in. If you believe all these things, it becomes interesting. And it gets more interesting as time goes on. Although the Ashvini Kumaras were only physicians, they could bring you to a lake. They're really good physicians. If you find an Ayurvedic doctor on this level, please let me know. They're first-class physicians. Of course, they wouldn't be allowed to practice in the UU. Couldn't get a license here, but anyhow, they were good physicians anyhow. Although the Ashvini Kumar were only physicians and were therefore excluded from drinking samaras and sacrifices, the demigods agreed to allow them henceforward to drink it. King Sharyati begot three sons named Uttanabarhi, Anartha, anartha and burishena. From anartha came a son named Revata. So again, this is meant to show us that Krishna comes from a very good dynasty. Now, who of us can trace our dynasty back to the Ashwini, to King Shariati or King Ambarish, who's coming up next? If you found out that your great-great-great-grandfather was King Ambarish, you feel pretty good about it, right? So Krishna, he's coming a line of great personalities. O King Parikshit, subduer of enemies, this Revata constructed a kingdom known as Kushastali in the depths of the ocean. Should I read that again? O Maharaj Parikshit, subduer of enemies, this Revata constructed a kingdom known as Kushastali in the depths of the ocean. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Must be pretty interesting living in the depths of the ocean. You wake up in the morning and see all the fish coming by. It's like you have your own, the whole ocean is your aquarium. And you're in the aquarium too. There he lived and ruled such tracts of land as Anartha, etc. He had 100 very nice sons, of whom the eldest was Kukudmi. Taking his own daughter, Revati, Kukumi went to Lord Brahma in Brahmaloka, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, inquired about a husband for her. I think if you have an invitation to a marriage ceremony, in India at least, on the card is a picture of Lord Brahma. He's the best matchmaker in the universe. He's the original progenitor. Besides Krishna, he's Pitamaha. Krishna is Pitamaha, and Krishna is Tata Pitamaha. He's the great great grandfather. So if you want to find out who's the best match, the best person to go to is Brahma, if you can find a way to get there. We'll find it. There are problems though on the way back. It appears that Brahmaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma, is also transcendental above the three modes of material nature, apabritam. So this is one of the statements that you can find contradictions for and prove that this Bhagavatam is full of contradictions and therefore you don't have to follow it at all. Everything is, you can find some fault in Bhagavatam and then say, well, it's wrong. Maybe it's wrong about sense gratification too. I just do what I want. I found it. Yeah, there's a fault. I found it. They said it's perfect. So our business is to figure out what it means when it says one thing and what it means when it says something else. So it may be, quote, transcendental to the three modes of material nature in some respects, but it's also a condition. Because even Brahma doesn't necessarily go back to the spiritual kingdom after leaving his body. There are different types of Brahmas. In any case, the flower, where did the flower come from? The lotus flower that what Brahma was born from? What's that? Whose navel? Yeah, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu transcendental? Yeah, so the lotus flower, would that be transcendental too? Yeah, I mean, if you had a lotus flower come from your navel, it would probably be more or less similar to you. So Brahmaloka may be, quote, transcendental to the three modes, who came from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. That doesn't mean that all the people living there are transcendental. to the three modes. Translation. When Kukumi arrived there, Lord Brahma was engaged in hearing musical performances by the Gandharvas and had not a moment to talk with him. Be nice to get a copy of a record made by the Gandharvas. It must be quite interesting. We have to invite one of the Gandharvas for the Kirtan night. Get a packed house. Therefore, Kunkumi waited, and at the end of the musical performances, he offered his obeisances to Lord Brahma and thus submitted his long-standing desire. After hearing his words, Lord Brahma, who is most powerful, laughed loudly and said to Kukumi, O King, all those whom you may have decided within the core of your heart to accept as your son-in-law have passed away in the course of time. He waited too long. 27 Chaturyugas have already passed. How much is the how many years is a Chaturyuga? 4,320,000 years multiplied by? That's one Chaturyuga. And 27 times 4,300,000 years is how much? What's that? Yeah, that's right. Most people don't live that long. Those upon whom you may have decided are now gone, and so are their sons, grandsons, and other descendants. You can't even hear about their names. Anyone hear about their names? It's been a long time. During Lord Brahma's day, 14 Manus or 1,000 Mahayugas pass away. Brahma informed King Kukumi that 27 Mahayugas, that's not quite right, is it? Each consisting of the four periods, Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali. Yeah, that's right. Had already passed. All the kings and other great personalities born in those yugas had now departed from memory into obscurity. This is the way of time as it moves through past, present, and future. So we may be supposedly a big personality now, thinking we're world famous, Muhammad Ali or something. I think he was the most famous person in the world. What's that? God. He lost a lot of popularity lately. It's Kali Yuga. Yeah, I guess he's the most famous. Most people are spending their whole life trying to deny his existence. They talk about how he's not there. No one's talking about how I'm not there. They couldn't care less if I was there or not. But God, that's the problem. Yes. O King, leave here and offer your daughter to Lord Baladev, who is still present. He is the most powerful. Indeed, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose plenary portion is Lord Vishnu. Your daughter is fit to be given to him in charity. So who is the consort of Balaram, Lord Balaram? Revati, yes. And who is her father? What's that? Kankumi. And who is his father? Revata, yes. So Revati was born from the name, her name came after her grandfather, not her father. Lord Baladev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who hears and chants about him is purified, because he is always the well-wisher of all living entities. He has descended with all his paraphernalia to purify the entire world and lessen its burden. So if you want to live for a long time, then just go to Brahmaloka. And then you can live for a long time. But if you come back here, then you may not live for such a long time after that. According to this. Because Kukumi, he was a king, and he was probably going to live as long as everyone else, which is probably a long time compared to us. But still, because he went to Brahmaloka somewhere or another, he lived throughout the whole duration of the musical concert of the Gandharvas, and everyone that he, the place that he came from, everyone that was there died, passed away, and all the descendants passed away, everything passed away. But he was able to go back with Revati, and she married Baladev, and they lived happily ever after. True romance. This is, Bhagavatam is real romance. It's real true romance. Having received this order from Lord Brahma, Kukumi offered obeisances unto him. Surprised he took so much time offering obeisances. And returned to his own residence. He then saw that his residence was vacant, having been abandoned by his brothers and other relatives, who were living in all directions because of fear of higher living beings such as yakshas. So how is his how did everyone disappear? All his relatives and his brothers are still alive. Can you explain that? Yagya Purushava. One sentence says, if you go back, everyone's disappeared. All your relatives, anyone who's heard about you has disappeared. He come back there and his residence was still there. And his brothers and other relatives were all scattered in other directions. So how is this possible? I have no idea. We'll have to keep on reading this again and again until Krishna tells us. And it says, Bratri B, his brothers. Thereafter the king gave his most beautiful daughter in charity to the supremely powerful Baladev and then retired from worldly life and went to Bhadrik Ashram to please Nara Narayan. So now we'll begin tomorrow with Ambarish offended by Duryodhana Muni. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the lecture. You mentioned that it is the same if we live here or in. So it doesn't matter if we live here or Indraloka or Brahmaloka compared to the spiritual world, but then it says that Brahmaloka is transcendental to the modes of material nature. Doesn't it make a difference if we live in such a place or this world, this earth?
Well, obviously there are differences, but just like, for instance, how much longer will any of us live for? Anyone here is going to live for another 100 years in this body? Anyone planning for another 100 years? Most of us are not planning for another 100 years. But say you could live for another 100 years, how does that compare it to 311,040,000,000,000 years? Another 100 years. Is it very much time? And 311,040,000,000,000 years compared to eternity. How much time is 311,040,000,000,000 years compared to eternity? It's insignificant. It has no significance whatsoever.
But from a perspective of the progress we can make in this world or in Brahmaloka, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, here it's much better. You go to Brahmaloka, you know, everywhere it's a lotus flower. Every place you lie down is comfortable. It smells like, the whole planet smells like a lotus flower. Everything tastes like a lotus flower. Everything is beautiful there. Why would we ever want to leave it? Here, we're not so attached. We're attached, but we're not so attached. So here is a much better opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Take Krishna consciousness seriously. Because to reach Brahmaloka, you have to execute Vanashram 100 lifetimes perfectly. So it's a great endeavor to get there, first of all. It's not that you get the lottery and you get, you know, as one of the prizes, Brahmaloka. It takes great endeavor to get there. But that same endeavor to get there, you could have been back to the spiritual world a long time ago. So it's much better to struggle here trying to become Krishna conscious than struggle to get, you know, eventually to Brahmaloka. And then having to try to get the determination to go beyond Brahmaloka. And there are different realms beyond Brahmaloka before we even get to Brahman. And people in Brahman, they don't fall down until a long, long time. Because the happiness of realizing that we're eternal is so great compared to our present existence, we don't want to give it up for anything. And the happiness of that is insignificant compared to the happiness of Krishna Loka. So the point is that it's just comparatively. Everything is relative. Yes?
One more question. I heard in other lectures that Brahma is sitting in meditation upon Lord Vishnu all his life and he's doing tapasya, but here it says that he was enjoying a concert. So which one is it?
Well, I guess when the concert started, he got out of his meditation, wanted to listen. You know, it was loud music, he couldn't keep on meditating. So if you can't beat him, you join him. I mean, it was a real catchy beat, the Gandharvas. No, Brahma's not always in meditation. He spends a lot of time in meditation. You know, a few million years every day. But he does other things too. I mean, Brahma has a very responsible position. As we find in Bhagavatam, Brahma's all over the universe, flying on his swan. He has to go. So he stole Krishna's coward boys and calves, and he came down to give Harini Kajipu benediction. So he has a pretty active life, Brahma. But when he gets a chance, he has his hour or two for meditation during the day. Anything else?
Question from Avadhutaraya Prabhu. The shloka 436 of the Gita begs the question, how can a most sinful person acquire spiritual knowledge without undergoing acts of purification? In this shloka, only a glorification, is this shloka only a glorification of transcendental knowledge? Second.
Well, let's try that. Well, there's knowledge and there's transcendental knowledge. So it's not so, we can read the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita and hear transcendental knowledge, but that doesn't mean we're qualified to hear it. First we have to go through the process of hearing it, remembering it, understanding it from different perspectives, being convinced of it by a proper application, then developing the skills so that we actually enter into it more deeply, and then developing the surrender and the character necessary to be completely absorbed in it. And then we actually realize the knowledge. We realize it to different degrees, just like I could say, Deno smiñata dehe kamaram yovanam jara, that the body's changing, but we're not changing. So we understand it. Everyone can understand that with our intelligence, but how much have we realized it? How much is it perpetually, eternally part of our experience? We realize it a little bit, but not fully. So transcendental knowledge, to understand it, means to fully realize it. Not just superficially understand it or hear it. Okay.
One more question. Did the form of Krishna disappear from the vision of Arjuna when Krishna was showing his universal form? If not, why is Arjuna asking Krishna to again show him his Chaturbhujina four-handed form?
Well, when Krishna showed the universal form, Krishna was there, but he was very tiny. It was hard to see him. After all, Krishna was just, he was showing the whole universe. So, the battle of Kurukshetra was a really small part of the whole universe. Hard to see him.
Hare Krishna. You spoke about the TV having the same program year after year. And sometimes devotees complain that Krishna book is only 90 chapters. So you read it again and again. So it seems also repetitive to some extent.
So. Yeah, for one who has material senses, of course, everything is repetitive because you're experiencing it through material senses. But one who has spiritual senses, therefore it's ever fresh. Nitya nava nava yamana. So it's a question of how we're experiencing it. So experiencing things through material senses means that we're not really experiencing it very much. As I always say, if you put a glove on your tongue before the feast, now the feast may be very good, but you may not relish it very much. Because you don't taste the feast, you taste your tongue, the glove on the tongue. So if we read Krishna book with covered senses, with covered intelligence, covered mind, false ego, then we're not really reading Krishna book, we're reading our material covering. Yes?
A little comment also on Brahma. Vishnachakravarti Thakur in the beginning of the 10th canto says that Bhumi, the cow, didn't go to the Brahma Loka to ask for help from Brahma because then it would take forever, like here. So she went to the Sumeru mountain to Viraja Brahma, the other form of Brahma, who is not, his time flow is different, so she got help quicker.
Where's Sumeru Brahma? Where is he live?
Well, on top of the Sumeru, they have sort of...
Oh, you mean on top of Meru?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have sort of vacation houses.
Oh, okay. She got them at their vacation time.
Summer houses, yeah.
Oh, good. Meru Mountain is 800,000 yojanas high, 100,000 yojanas high. It's approximately 100,000 times 12 is 1 million. So it's only 1,200,000 kilometers from here. Hop, skip, and a big jump. Good. Okay, so anyone, if you want to see Brahma, there's a shortcut. Practice high jumping. Okay. Kuala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.